speculation season is in full swing. It's that time between games being played and actual moves being made for the most part. It leaves a lot of time for people to sit and think, to imagine, to conjure up deals. Most of what is discussed, I think at this time of year, it's fair to say, will not come to pass, but it does make for an entertaining period. And we will do our part to add to the hype and excitement. We, of course, being me, I'm David Beauclair with John Glennon. John, how are you?
I'm well. Hope you guys are.
Doing great. And, of course, former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you today?
I'm doing great this evening. How are you doing, David?
Doing great. And this is, of course, the Believe in Titans podcast. And the Believe in Titans podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting, everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite leagues and events. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, it's where the game starts. Well, there has been one notable move this offseason, I guess, to date, and that is Derek Carr has been released by the Las Vegas Raiders, and there is some speculation that the Titans would have interest in Derek Carr. That would presume, of course, that Ryan Tannehill is not the Titans quarterback for the 2023 season. So let's assume that for a second. Let's say that that Rand Carthen and Mike Vrabel decide to move on and do something different. Denard, should they look at Derek Carr? Is this a guy who would be a good option to as a bridge, I guess, to whatever comes on the other side of that?
I think the name sells. You know, you can't argue with that. You're talking about a player like Derek, who's worked since his ninth year in the league. He was ranked ninth in passing. 86.3. You're talking about ranked ninth in yards per attempt, 7.8. He signed that huge deal, that 3-year, $121.4 million extension. And they went out and they got him a brand new toy in Las Vegas, Devontae Adams, and they just couldn't get going this year. And he has been a top quarterback. And those numbers are on a 3-year span from 2019 to 2021. But look at what he received today. I mean, compensation, $40 million of that. And think about this. If you decide that you wanted to go with Derek Carr, let's say right now he can sign unlike most free agents. So say if you sign him and you decide that you want to do a trade or you want to get rid of RT, that's Ryan Tannehill, it's going to cost the Titans a hefty amount. We're talking about $18.8 million. But if they cut him after, when I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill, it would only cost him about, what, 9.6. So if you make this move, David, this is going to be a costly move for Tennessee.
And from that perspective, I would say it doesn't make any sense at all, because if you're going to move away from Ryan Tannehill, the primary reason I think you're going to do it is financial. And you're looking to save money at that position because Ryan Tannehill costs a significant amount of money this year as well. So, John Glennon, the same question to you. How interested should the Titans be in Derek Carr at this point?
Well, I'll back it up to saying obviously you would have to get rid of Ryan Tannehill if you're going to bring in Derek Carr, and I frankly I just don't see that much of an upgrade. I don't see the reason to do that, especially in terms of finances. You know, I think maybe if you're looking for advantages in you know, making that swap, you know, bringing in a David Carr and moving on from Ryan Tannehill, you obviously say he's, you know, he's 3 years younger. So you have that, you know, he's maybe coming off a year where you know, he had some decent stats, nothing spectacular. He takes a few less sacks than Ryan Tannehill. One could make the serious case that that's not Ryan Tannehill's fault, however. But, you know, look what he did last year, you know, was pretty average. And that was, you know, with Davante Adams for a full season, you know, Darren Waller for 9 games, Hunter Renfrow for 10, much better weapons than what Ryan Tannehill had to deal with last year. And his interception percentage was higher than Ryan Tannehill here as well. So to me, I just don't see, you know, yeah, as you said, David, one reason you want to move on from Ryan Tannehill is to maybe get some cap relief. Well, you're kind of doing the opposite because you're probably, if you're releasing Ryan Tannehill, you're going to pay millions, you know, almost many, or you're going to have a ton of dead cap space, close to 20 million if you cut him before June 1st. And I'm not certain that all that is, you know, is going to get you a big upgrade. Instead, you know, why not keep Ryan Tannehill, who's at least familiar with the Mike Vrabel system overall, familiar with Tim Kelly, familiar with Pat O'Hara. You know, I just don't see the big pluses in going after Derek Carr outside of maybe flipping a few years, 3 years difference between the two.
Well, and the health issue, I mean, there is reasonable concern, I guess, about Ryan Tannehill after a couple of ankle injuries. I mean, I think you trust medical science in this day and age to say that he's going to be back and healthy in time for the this coming season. But, you know, Derek Carr is a guy who has missed 4 games in his career and hasn't always been behind the best offensive lines in football. I mean, 3-4 years, was it 4 years ago? Or no, 5 years ago, excuse me, 2018, he was sacked 51 times. And, but, you know, he's a guy who's put up some big numbers as recently as 2021, threw for 4,800 yards. But you look at what happened to him last year. His numbers were down across the board, his worst completion percentage since his rookie season. And that was with a, you know, with a coaching change with Josh McDaniels going in there. And you have to wonder, you know, how well does this guy deal with that kind of change? Then he'd been in John Gruden's offense for 5 seasons before that and had done really well. So I agree with Denard. It's a name that sells. I think it would, if you had traded Ryan Tannehill or had cut him by this point, you signed Derek Carr. I think it's a guy who puts people at ease, but I don't think he creates a ton of excitement either in terms of, okay, this is a move that's going to make the Titans better. I think it's a, as I started the segment, it's a move that gets you to whatever your next move is at quarterback, whether that's giving Malik Willis another year to develop, whether you're planning to draft a quarterback this year. It just seems like, you know, you're just biding your time that way. And I agree with you, John. It's, you know, the familiarity and with Ryan Tannehill, and we've seen, you know, Mike Vrabel likes familiarity in a lot of different ways, and certainly the most important position on the football team, that I think would be a nice security blanket for him. But let's up the ante on this discussion a little bit.
One more point, if I could.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, come
just,
on.
Just real quick. Two things. One, yeah, you mentioned some of his stats, and also, yeah, the worst quarterback rating for Derek Carr last year since his rookie season as well. But one other thing too, you know, and one of the reasons, you know, one of the knocks on Ryan Tannehill is that he wasn't able to take, you know, the Titans to the next level, if you will, wasn't able to have great postseason success. Look at Derek Carr. Derek Carr has played one playoff game in 9 years, and he lost that game too. So if you're looking, you know, potentially saying, hey, here's a guy I want to move on from Ryan Tannehill, And here's I want a guy who will maybe take us even higher than Ryan Tannehill did. That's not necessarily Derek Carr either.
Okay, but then, as I was saying, let's up the ante on this discussion. Aaron Rodgers is in his dark meditation, I guess, or is he in it? Is he still planning to go?
I believe
to
he's entered that.
I believe he's entered. And what if he comes out and says, you know what? I want to be in Tennessee. I want to play with Mike Vrabel. We can reasonably assume he has respect for Mike Vrabel. If you think back to early in the season, I think when the Titans were 0-2, his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee podcast, McAfee was asking him about some of the 0-2 teams and whether they were done or not. And the Titans came up, and one of the things Aaron Rodgers said, "What is Mike Vrabel still the head coach? Do they still have Derrick Henry? You know, they're going to be just fine." So forget what it would take to get him. Assume for a second, I guess, that you could get him. Denard, would you like Aaron Rodgers as the Tennessee Titans quarterback this year?
Yeah, the younger version, not last year version. I love A-Rod. I mean, God, what a phenomenal year. But you got to understand, David, he's getting a little older, 39 years old, and he didn't have his most productive year. We saw Aaron Rodgers that was off this year. I know he had a lot of young receivers, but there's, again, these speculations. And what an interesting article I was reading. Someone tweeted, it was Dove Climate tweet, and it says that they have five destinations for Aaron Rodgers. Of course, Green Bay being number one. Washington, the Commanders, number two, the Raiders, Jets, and Titans. We keep seeing those names, those teams over and over who needed a quarterback. But what's interesting is that Green Bay is not going to trade Aaron Rodgers to no one in the NFC. So that leaves the Titans potentially one of three teams. If he decides that he wants to play, it's going to be only an AFC team. So that could be a possibility. What I don't like about this situation, now you got to understand this, is that Green Bay, what's interesting about his contract is his cap hit is $31 million. You know how much the dead cap is? $99 million. Hey, Green Bay is not stupid. They're not going to eat that money up. That's $99 million in dead cap money. No, you stand.
That, I mean, that's got to be, what, 40-some percent of the of the salary cap. There'd have to be some sort of magic work in there, but John Glennon, what's your take on Aaron Rodgers and what he has left, what he potentially could give to this team?
Well, the one thing that you like about him, you know, we were just talking about Derek Carr a minute ago, and you know, should the Titans have interest in trying to sign Derek Carr? Well, at least, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you can list numerous reasons why not, but at the very least, we know Aaron Rodgers has had tremendous success, you know, postseason. He's won Super Bowls. He's won MVPs. You know, so there's that question of would he be a significant elevation? Yeah, I think even the Aaron Rodgers now at this point at 39 years old is a significant upgrade from Ryan Tannehill. The downside again, if you're, you know, if, as we talked about, if you're looking to get cap relief from a quarterback move, if you're looking to try to move on and get cap relief from Ryan Tannehill, it's not going to work here with Aaron Rodgers either, because of the cap hit that he is going to take. Another downside too, you're going to have to give up, you know, some assets to get Aaron Rodgers, even at this age. You know, he's still going to bring a considerable haul. And, you know, if you're the Titans, do you want to go? Is this a year that you want to kind of go all in, so to speak, and say, okay, we're willing to give up, you know, a couple, you know, a first round pick, a couple of high round picks, you know, to send to Green Bay to bring Aaron Rodgers here, when right now, you know, your offensive line certainly is a big question mark. Your wide receivers are a big question mark. Do you want to go all in for a move that would signal that, hey, you know, we think we're right there. All we need is that outstanding quarterback to put us over the top. We're willing to give up draft capital, potentially young players. No, I don't think that's the case. You know, a couple of years ago, you know, maybe if it was a similar situation and we knew what the Titans roster was at the time, maybe yes. But I don't see that being the case right now with what the Titans have to work with right now.
And there's two things about Aaron Rodgers when you watch him play these days. You know, one of the great elements of his game for years was his ability to throw the ball on the run. And, you know, he sort of did some of the things Patrick Mahomes is doing now before Mahomes did them, you know, with different arm angles and sort of just a creative ability to get the ball from point A to point B. But if you watched him this year, any, it seemed to me, number one, that he relied on that too much. He was falling back or throwing off his back foot. You know, there seems to be very rare the times now where he actually just stands tall in the pocket and steps up and throws the ball, knowing you're going to take a hit, which, you know, that happens to guys as they get older. They get smarter and they, you know, they can read defenses quickly and they don't want to take those hits anymore. And, you know, that's where you give Ryan Tannehill credit at his age. He's still willing to stand in there and take those hits. And back to Rodgers, I think that's part and parcel with you don't see the joy in his game that you saw. I mean, he wasn't Brett Favre in that regard, like, but he was a guy who seemed to, you know, have a good time knowing he was one step ahead of the defense and whatnot. You just don't see that from him. And, you know, maybe a change of scenery does that for him, but I would be really skeptical if I was a GM talking about acquiring him at this point. I'd have to have a really long talk with him about, you know, why do you still want to play the game at this age? What are you looking to do? How do you feel about, you know, the game in general? It's there's a lot to consider there, but these are fun topics. Obviously, they're interesting to talk about because quarterback is, as we said, the most important position on any football team at any level, pretty much. And when it comes to defense, we hear it more and more all the time. Your ability to affect the passer has become so important in the NFL. And I think it's probably worthwhile at this time to bring up a name that we didn't say much during the last season because he wasn't available. But Harold Landry will be back on a defense that that he led in sacks for a couple years in a row, and he signed the big contract last year. There was high expectations for him, and particularly since he was part of a group that included Bud Dupree, who was coming into his second year as a high free agent acquisition, Ola Adeniyi, who had shown some flashes as a guy who could do some things in spots at edge rusher, and Rashad Weaver entering his second season after being drafted in the fourth round in 2021. Those guys didn't get to play together. One of them is no longer on the team. Another one might be gone this off season. Denard, as you look at that group, you know, how differently do you feel about it right now as opposed to what you did at the start of the season?
I don't feel any different. I think this is one of the best units, not just for the Titans defensively, but in the National Football League. This is an elite unit. When you look at Harold Landry, of course, you miss the 2021 Pro Bowler with that ACL in 2022. I mean, look at what happened. What you lost is you lost 12 sacks, 75 tackles, and not to mention something that, when I say stats are misleading, just look how many times he was able to pressure the quarterback. Look how many times that he was able to get in the backfield and be disruptive and to get a quarterback out of his comfort zone. You can't make that up. But what happened was we saw the emergence of DeNico Autry. I mean, he stepped in and he played phenomenal. I mean, look how he played October 2nd against his former team, the Colts. He had Matt Ryan running for his life, and he had a big year, 8 sacks, one shy of what he had in 2018 with Indy. But we also saw the emergence of a young player that they took in the fourth round in 2021, and that's Rashad Capone Weaver. How many times did you see when number 99 was in the lineup, you saw a different player? You saw the player that they drafted in the fourth round disrupted. He was able to get to the quarterback. What, he had 5.5 sacks last season, not to mention 2 forced fumbles. But then the one person that was missing, David, and unfortunately he got hurt, but he signed that big fat contract in 2021. That was Bud Dupree coming over from Pittsburgh. I know that's where everybody wanted to see. But unfortunately, right now, he hasn't panned out. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bud Dupree is a cap casualty this year.
Yeah, John, DeNard makes a great point with, I mean, we knew Denico Autry was a versatile player, but the fact that he could play so many snaps on the edge and play as well as he did, given Bud Dupree's health issues, the 2 years he's been in Tennessee, you know, how does Denico Autry factor into your thinking about Bud Dupree if you're Rand Carthen and Mike Vrabel and the brain trust of this team?
Yeah, you know, I think you're less concerned about the edge situation because of how versatile Denico Autry is. And, you know, I think the bulk of his play last year came on the edge, you know, certainly in the early downs anyway. And you know, he could play on the left. He could play on the right. So certainly that's a huge supplement to the edge, and I think that may be one of the factors that does indeed result in the cutting of Bud Dupree, who has just not lived up to that gigantic contract that he signed, can't get on the field, you know, and I think clearly was another one of those guys that Mike Vrabel indirectly referenced when he talked about, you know, not signing guys with, you know, track records of injury. As Bud Dupree was injured in Pittsburgh the year before he was signed here. So, you know, there's still some potential certainly on the edge there. I think one of the big questions is how well Harold Landry comes back from that ACL. You know, we see in some players, you know, they bounce back pretty quickly, you know, from that first year or from the year with the surgery on the ACL. Other players, it takes longer. You know, that first year back after the ACL surgery is sometimes not peak performance. I guess if there was a silver lining to the Harold Landry injury, it was that it occurred so early, you know, before the season started, you know, that he has had that extra time to recover and rehab. So perhaps he'll be closer to the Harold Landry that we saw before he signed that big deal. But, you know, honestly, I still think edge, there needs to be some depth added to that position. You know, if I look at top priorities for the Titans in my mind, O-line comes first, you know, probably wide receiver comes second. And then there's a mix in there, too. You know, I think, you know, still, despite the number of high draft picks that have been used on cornerbacks, I still think another pick is needed there. I think edge rusher, as I said, some, you know, depth is needed there, even with Harold Landry coming back because Bud Dupree didn't pan out. And I think also the other position, you know, if David Long leaves, I think, you know, you've got to look at inside linebacker as well. I'm not certain that the guys they have coming up there are good enough to fill that hole as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Titans have dealt a lot. You know, it seems like for several years running now, there's been this question about quick returns from knee surgeries and can guys do it? How will they do? You go back to, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, who had knee surgery in March of 2019 and was on the field, what, early November of that year and making plays and making impact plays, to, you know, Bud Dupree, who was injured in late November, early December, whatever it was of 2020 with Pittsburgh, you know, played at the start of the season in 2021 with the Titans, but he himself said he did too much too soon. That didn't work out well. He had to back off a little bit, and then even spent time late that year on injured reserve. And then Robert Woods last year, who was injured in November with the Rams and came in and got through last season without issue. There's, you know, that's not going to be the problem with Harold Landry. The season opener will be beyond a year from when he hurt it, probably right about a year from when he ultimately had surgery. And Landry is a guy I don't think you have to worry about in this situation. You know, rehab, I'm sure is a challenge for everybody in its own ways. But one thing you've heard about Harold Landry over the 5 years he's been with the Titans is that, you know, sometimes he can overthink things. He's a very thoughtful guy, sometimes can think too much. But I think the rehab process, if I had to guess, would probably suit him well, where he can show up on Monday and the therapist says, okay, this is what we're going to do today, and this is what we're looking to accomplish with that. And he can, you know, he can get his mind around that, you know, put everything he needs to in that day's rehab, and then come back the next day and they say, okay, this is what we're doing today, and this is what we hope to get out of it. And I think he is probably wired in a way that will help him get through that process, you know, as well as anybody would. Rashad Weaver, I think showed plenty this season to where you feel like, okay, you can release Bud Dupree, you can start Landry and Weaver, but then yes, you're going to need depth there, and it's probably one of those positions that you're going to address to some degree in free agency and the draft, and see what you can get out of it. But it's Jerry Glanville famously said in that one NFL Films clip, the NFL stands for not for long, and that certainly this edge rusher group for the Titans is an example of that, how things have changed. And then, you know, I neglected to mention where you rotate Autry in there and how much you want to use him. I think you would probably still like to go back to using him on the line in the early downs, and then get creative with him on the passing downs. But it's that is a riddle for the defensive staff led by Shane Bowen, of course, to figure out. So as we move toward the end of this thing, as I said, it's not yet the start of free agency. We're about 3 weeks or so away from that. But since this is speculation season, let's talk about some free agents that who the Titans might be interested in going after. At this point, there's an expansive list of players who are expected to be available. Some of them will re-sign with their current teams before the middle of March. But we'll start with you, Denard. You when you look down the list, who jumps out at you as somebody who could come in here and make a significant impact to the Titans?
Well, for me, I'm going to go offensive line. I would like to say congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs for winning the Super Bowl. And who was it that protected the MVP on his blind side all season and played phenomenal? One name.
His name's escaping me at the moment.
You know what? I'm going to call him Baby Zeus because I played against his dad as Orlando Brown Jr.
Yes.
God, he's a stud, David. I love Orlando ever since he's been at Oklahoma. You look at the guy, 6'8", 340 pounds. Could you imagine having a child that would grow up to be that big? But I actually played against his dad who, oh my goodness, was one of the most intimidating figures I've ever seen in my life. And I tell you what, this guy, Orlando, is phenomenal. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. He done started 75 out of 81 games. He's been one of the most consistent offensive tackles in the game. He continues to get better. He's only 26 years old. And the word around town, okay, is that the rumors are is that the Chiefs are going to try to tag him. Now, he's had issues in the past dealing with these contracts because I know when they were trading for him, when he was at Baltimore. He had an issue. They tried to sign him in Kansas City to a long-term deal. They had some issues with the sixth year. So I would love to see him in a Titans uniform. You got an agent. You got Ryan Tannehill who's coming back. He's 34 years old. You have Derek, who's 29, and you got an offensive line. Let's just be honest. They were depleted with injuries. They got outplayed this season. They got outmatched. And what better way you got an off? You got at right tackle, Nicholas Petit-Frere, who's coming back for his second season, so he can get a lot better. And then you put Orlando Brown Jr. at that left tackle position. And let's say if Ben Jones, he comes back. And then let's say they sign Nate Davis. You're talking about your Achilles heel in 2022 could be your strength in 2023.
Denard's going big spender on us.
I'm going, we kept talking about the play of the line all season.
Yeah.
I got tired of y'all talking about Big Dennis.
Denard's not looking for the, he's not looking at the clearance sale shelf. He is.
I'm tired of those skill guys.
He's going top dollar. So, John Glennon, where are you going?
Yeah, I think, and I think we're all kind of going into this. It's fun to speculate. Yeah, we're just saying for the sake of things, this is assuming the Titans clear plenty of cap space. They're going to need to because they're over right now. They're not in great shape. But, yeah, assuming enough space is cleared, certainly I agree with Denard. Orlando Brown, if you want to get your pure left tackle out of free agency, he is head and shoulders above the pure left tackle, I think. That's where he played, certainly on the Super Bowl winning team last year. That's where he's played all along. He's a giant. He's strong in pass protection, which heaven knows that the Titans need that desperately. So he would certainly be the way to go. I think if you thought about another tackle, maybe bringing in a more of a right tackle and then potentially moving Nicholas Petit-Frere to left. Petit-Frere certainly had that background at Ohio State where he played on both sides. But you could think of a guy like Mike McGlinchey from San Francisco, another monstrous guy, 6'8", 3'10", similar type system in San Francisco than the Titans use. He's a strong run guy, and he's been improving in the passing game as well. Again, he's more of a right tackle, so you would probably either have to move him and change sides or move NPF over to the left side. I like as a wide receiver, and we know they need help there as well. How about a little DJ Chark?
I had him on my list as well. Yes.
Did you? Yeah. Okay. The red flag, of course, for the Titans is that he's had, he's been limited to 15 games over the last 2 years because of injuries. And we know all the talk about injuries and signing guys with injuries. So that may be a deal breaker. I'm not sure. But look at this guy. I mean, 6'4", 200 pounds. At one point in his career, he was running – like 4.35, 40-yard dashes and so forth. What do the Titans need? They need speed. This guy last year, I mentioned the injury last year, but the good news is that he came back. He played the last 8 games of last year, and then 3 times in the final 6 games last year, he was over 90 yards. So he's a guy can go after it, get the ball downfield, would be a nice complement to a guy like Treylon Burks. So I like him as a potential wide receiver target. And then David, one of your Eagles, you probably know how to pronounce his last name better than I do. Another offensive lineman, guard Isaac Seumalo.
Yeah.
From Philly. Yeah, starter there. He's not old. I mentioned Chark is only 26 years old, I think. Also, Seumalo is a little bit older. He's 29. But, obviously we know how good Philly's offensive line was last year. He was a big part of it. Big guard, 6'4", 303. Had a career best grade PFF last year. So if Nate Davis walks, he's a guy that the Titans could certainly target.
Yeah, Seumalo's a guy I thought too. And a guy who's has played 81 games in his career, started 60 of them, you know, that, and that experience with Philadelphia's offensive line. I also thought, similar to that, George Fant, who has been a starter at both tackle positions. He's 30 years old. He's got 60 starts to his career, a guy who, you know, maybe a little, certainly more affordable than an Orlando Brown, but a guy who maybe he's a starter. Maybe he's your third tackle. You need both of those things. So he was one who jumped out at me. And then, cornerback Emmanuel Mosley from the 49ers, who is a guy I'm sure Rand Carthen knows well. He was an undrafted free agent out of the University of Tennessee. He's had at least an interception each of the last 4 years, has been a starter, has been a role player, just a guy that I think would be really nice insurance against another Caleb Farley rough year, if you will. And then It just for fun, I thought, what if you get really, really bold? And I don't know, like, this is a guy who's probably not going to make it to the free agent market. But what if you were to sign on March 15th, Saquon Barkley, and then you make it known that you're trading Derrick Henry sometime between then and the draft? I mean, think of the market you could get for him at that point. Well, of course, and think of what you would do to the fan base in terms of lighting them up. But there'd be a lot of people not happy with that move.
You just treat us so bad.
Yeah, I'm saying that was my out there thought of the day. Like if you want to go way off the reservation, that's where I'm going.
Back in here.
You guys, it is just like Ryan Tannehill. All he's done for you guys, and this is how you're going to treat him.
Well, that's what makes this time of year so fun, and we will see if there's actual news to discuss next week. If not, we will do more of this for John Glennon, for Denard Walker. I am David Beauclair, and this is the Believe in Titans podcast.